good.
All right. Actually, soon, so we'll try to keep it short. So you guys have a second page? What's the second page? Yeah. Meaning the base? Yeah. No, Amnam. The second paragraph. Amnam. Second page. Second paragraph. Amnam. So Nachmal. So what we saw was that again, Rav Chaim Vital quoted the Zohar Kaddish that the Zohar said that the reason why those that are learning Torah, but they're doing it legarmaya, they do it for themselves selfishly, then that repels the Shechina. So that's what the Zohar said, and so Rav Chaim Vital is working through that in you. So the first thing that Rav Chaim Vital mentioned was that, like, what does that mean to learn Torah selfishly? So he said that on the most basic, most grubba level, I guess, learning Torah selfishly means that you're mamish shloi lishma, where you're doing it, he described, to become popular, to become powerful, all the different cheshbonis that a person would have to learn Torah shloi lishma for one's own personal benefit. So he says that's clearly a problem. That's clearly a problem. And he says, so that's up to a parak base. But again, what he's going to then say is that that's not the depth of what the Zohar Kaddish is talking about. The Zohar Kaddish is talking about a much deeper avoida of avoiding selfishness, which means to learn Torah for the sake of the Shechina. That's what we saw. But he's gonna get there. So again, the second paragraph, Amnam. Hanoshim Ha'ela, again, he's continuing with his Musar. Hanoshim Ha'ela, these people, again, that he described in the previous paragraph, people that are learning Torah, but mamish, like real, shloi lishma, for the sake of their own, popularity, power, money, you name it. So he says, Amnam Hanoshim Ha'ela, these people, marim tuma vanava, they display signs of simplicity and tmimus and wholesomeness, vanava and humility, barmer, because they'll tell you kikolas kamitaru lishma, right? Because it's motivations are hard to see. So the person can say all the right things, but he says, but Rav Chaim Vital says, but the proof is obvious. Vini hachacham agadol atana Rav Meir al v'sham. So you have Rameir the Tana, Heir Aleim Shloikachu. Rameir testifies that they're saying the incorrect, right? And as they're saying that they're doing a lishma, Rameir can testify otherwise. How so? Ba'imram Ka'imray, because Rameir said Baloshin Klolus in a general statement. It's a mission in Pirkei Avos. Kol Isaac with our lishma, Zaych Ladvarim Harbe B'chulu. If a person learns Torah lishma, then you're Zaych to many things. And among them is Magan Loi Rezei Torah, the person knows secrets of Torah, the Nasa Kenar Shein. It basically is all listed in the Mishnah. That person becomes like an ever-flowing river of Chachma, Ukamayin Hamas Gabra V'hoylech, which, and like a wellspring that increases in strength as time goes on. So says Rav Chaim Vital, Hayar B'dvar V'elu. So Rameir is telling you, he's teaching us, that Kimisha Einenu Zoicha, if a person doesn't reach these levels, that it's revealed to him from heaven, secrets of Torah, right? And he becomes in those secrets like an ever-flowing river, and like a wellspring that just is mezgaber, that becomes increasingly strong just naturally. Without much effort, without much investigation, and is able to extract, drops of water out of the rock of Torah, so to speak. So again, if you're not zeicha to all those things, that means that you're not Torah lishma. Rameir says that if you do Torah lishma, then you get these things. If you don't go to those things, it means you weren't Isaac and Torah lishma. Now, by the way, just in between the lines, this is not for now, but it's more of like a learning Pirkei Avos. It's interesting, Rav Chaim Vital did teach a little bit of what the Mishnah means. There's a few chedushim over here. First of all, again, Rameir said, again, you learn Torah Lishma, you're zarchet to many things, and the specific things that Rav Chaim Vital pulled out were, I think, three, right? Megal and Loresa Torah, these are in the Mishnah, that secrets of Torah are revealed to you. That's the one thing that he highlights. Nasa kinar shena paisik, you become a river that doesn't end. And the third thing was Kamayin Hamasgaber, that you become like an ever increasingly strong wellspring. So the Mefarshim, right? So the Mefarshim deal, like, what's the chiluk? What do those things mean? The first thing is you're given secrets of Torah. Okay, fine. So then the next thing is that you become a Nahar Shein Epaisik, a river that doesn't end. So that mistama usually means that you have that chedushim, like you could come up with an constant stream of chedusha Torah. But then what's the next thing that you become a mayin hamizgaver? What exactly is the difference? So it's interesting. And the Mefarshim deal with it. So there's different ways of explaining it. But in between the lines, Reb Chaim Vital seems to be teaching a little bit. Because here, he says, again, we just read it quickly, but again, you see by the comma, in the middle of the paragraph, again, he's teaching us with these words, that's not revealed to him, secrets of Torah from heaven, v'nasa behem, first of all, and he become, and within those secrets, as he's teaching, the next thing of becoming a river that doesn't stop means from those secrets. In other words, that those secrets that are revealed to you, you're able to then use those ideas that are revealed to you and come up with unbelievable rivers of chidushim. V'nasa behem kinohar she'ena paisik. And what about the next thing of being an ever increasingly strong mayan wellspring? Ukumayin hamazgaber me'elov. That's what so Chaim Vital highlights. The point is that it's on its own. Like when you have a wellspring, it just on its own it naturally, like the pressure the water shoots out, and it just becomes stronger and stronger on its own. Building its stir, huh?
It means you don't see where it's coming from, like a river. You see.
Besides, you don't see where it comes from. It doesn't even take much effort. They say so. Bilti hit starch l'trayach without even much effort on your part, la'ayin ba, and to it doesn't take much. But in other words, the Reb Chaim Vital's teaching is the three things are it's secrets that are revealed to you from those like kernels, those ideas of those like secrets. You're able to then flesh out of that, rivers of chidushim, and it's not even that hard. Just like a mayan hamizgaber me'elov, So that's to a certain degree that itself is a model of chachma bin and das. Chachma is a quality. Chachma means the ability to receive something new, and anything that's while something is in a state of chachma, it's like in a flashbulb. It's like a flash, a lightning, or like a seed. It's an idea, but it's not fleshed out yet. It's not expanded yet. But it's like a new chiddush. So that first nekuda of a person learning Torah Lishma, then magal le'razei Torah, that secrets of Torah revealed to them. So that's like chachma. You get the Hashem plants in your brain like a seed of an idea, and then the next thing is ukun harshin epoisek, which is bina, which is taking that idea, maven damutachdava, filling it out, l'oirich l'roichev, and it becomes like an unbelievable, gushing river of chedushim. And all of that, chachma bina, and also, and the next thing is das, that it's intuitive. It's almost natural. Das means like a connection, like that idea. The reason why a person would have to spend a lot of effort and energy to come up with new ideas in Torah is because it's like, those ideas are still somewhat like alien and foreign to who the person is, so it comes with effort. But if it's part of your neshama and it's just then all those chedushim, then the process of fleshing out that core idea, like if that core idea of chachma, if Hashem gives that to you and it's like mamish, like in your kishkas, it's now part of your essence, then fleshing it out and turning it into a river of chedushim is not such a big tircha, because it's just your natural mind automatically develops it. It doesn't take that much effort. So that's a matter of chachma bina das. Again, that's I'm just saying that you see in between the lines how Reb Chaim Vital seems to teach it. But again, the main point of the paragraph is so since Rameir said this is what you're zeichet to with Torah Lishma, so if you're not zeichet to that, it means you're not learning Torah Lishma. So that's the proof.
Do you have it? Does that mean that you for sure have
a shot?
Do you have
Rosie first? Yeah, probably. It's a probably good estimate.
The well when refills, I would think, is like just when you think you it automatically fills with depth.
Yeah. So and it surfaces on it. It's like when you have a wellspring the water seeps in. So it's just like without effort, without any work, it's there. It's a constant flow. Right, exactly. That's the difference when there's chachma and bina without das, then it comes with a lot of effort. It comes a lot of effort. But when it's Chacham Bina and with Das, and it's like that Chacham Bina that you're thinking about is a part of your system, then it's not. It's the same thing like on a very, let's say, go on a very, you know, more down to earth level, is like if a person, when a person is first, when you first put yourself into learning, so it's hard, you know, and the truth is to a certain degree, every day is a new beginning. So every day is a new beginning, and therefore it's hard. So and the reason is because it's like I have to go and open the sefer, you know what I mean? But if that's if you're if you you know it's just that's how your brain is wired, like Torah is the way you think, that's your life, then it doesn't come with effort. Like that's just that's what it means to think. When you're thinking, it means Torah. Again, it's you know the more a person has a hiskashrus to something deeply, which is das, the more the ability to develop those ideas and to come up with new ideas and to you know it becomes natural. It becomes more of a natural thing. So he says Miza Ish, last three lines. Miza Ish. So he says, who's the person Asher lo yizlu demoyis me'enav beroyse mishna zayis? Who's the person that doesn't start crying when you read this Mishnah? And you see your own chesaron and your own deficiency. By the way, Agav, you should know, and we have a sefer called Sefer HaChizyonis, which is Reb Chaim Vital's autobiography. It's very, very rare to have a sefer, an autobiography from a tzaddik, especially someone like this. It's a fascinating read. But you see, one of the things that you see over there is how emotional Reb Chaim Vital was. It's amazing. You see this by some. He was very, very, like he describes, I remember he describes, it's a Pel de Gazach. It seems as if that this was actually like a turning point in his life. But he says one time that he was in his 20s and he came home Friday night from shul to come and make Kiddush.
Before he met Arizal?
This is before. I think so.
He met Arizal in his 30s, right? 32 or something?
Maybe late 20s. I think it was late 20s. I'm not sure. But anyway, so he comes on Friday night. Just remember this like one thing. He comes on Friday night and whatever, he says over there he had a hard week and wasn't such a good week. He didn't learn as much as he should, but, you know. And he says he begins to make Kiddush and he can't get Kiddush out because he's crying. His mom is like, he's just crying. And he forces himself to make Kiddush and he has some like kazayas of a mites and he's like, he couldn't do it. And he just went to bed and he put his head in his pillow and he writes this. And he's just like, he was sobbing and he falls asleep crying. And he says the whole dream that he had is the whole thing and like, you know, he got chizik from that dream and he went fight it. But it's like, it's very, very raw. Like, Reb Chaim Vital was very, Reb Chaim Vital, but like, the Arizal, one of the avoidances that the Arizal had with Reb Chaim Vital was to be mechazikim. It was like, and Reb Chaim Vital sort of pushed back. He always pushed back. Like, the Arizal very often tried to tell him about how amazing, how big his neshama was. Reb Chaim Vital never was comfortable hearing that. He didn't want to hear it. So it was this constant, like, you know, struggle between the two of them. This fight, like, I want to tell you how amazing you are. I don't want to hear it. I want to tell you. I don't want to hear it. So Reb Chaim Vital was like this, but anyway.
How do you see daf the Kiddushim? Rebbe keeps talking about the Kiddushim that come out.
Kinnar Shein HaPaisek?
Just in general, yeah. Rebbe said that he's putting out Kiddushim. He says...
Yeah, that's the simple pshat in the Mishnah. Yeah, Megala Raza Torah. The simple pshat. I mean, when the Mefarshim and the Rishonim, when they talk about that Mishnah.
Oh, that's where Rebbe's coming from.
Yeah, right.
Daf the Kiddushim.
Chidushim, yeah, that's the simple pshat. That's the simple. Narav Shein HaPaisek is Chidushim. The Chiddush over here is how he teaches the Mayan HaMizgaber. That it's those that Nahar Shein HaPaisek is without Tircha. Right. So he's a little. So again, like I said, in you know, it's, these paragraphs are a little bit stark. But you should know. It's always good to know. I'll tell you just a klal to. Whenever you see listen, when you read a sefer and it's written by someone who's not necessarily Reb Chaim Vital. Okay, and the sefer is like saying stark things, and like you know, okay, so maybe he's just saying stark. But when you have tzaddikim like this, a tzaddik is always trying, like I spoke about Shabbos. A tzaddik is always trying to be mamtik dinim. A tzaddik is always trying to soften judgments. He's always trying to do that, and sometimes the way a tzaddik does that is by speaking harshly against someone that he knows. There's klipas attached to that person, so sometimes, or there's a midas adin or something, so the tzaddik will say stark things, you know, against that person. But it's all for the purposes of softening it. I'll give you an example. There's a, it's this week is the Kamarna's Yartzeit, so Shabbos Kamarna. So anyway, so there's a mice like this, the Kamarna. There was a mice like this, what's the pratim? Ramir Primizlaner was sick. I think this is the way it goes. Rabbi Primizlaner was sick. And the Sanzarov came to visit him. So this is happening in Primishlan. And this is happening on a Thursday. Okay? Primishlan is sick. Sanzarov comes to visit him. And some of the details I might be messing up, but it's something like this. So Rameir Primishlaner sees the Sanzarov, and he said, Rameir Primishlaner always referred to himself in the third person, Meryl, let's see. So, right, so he would say, so he said to Sanzarov, he says, no, what is the Sanzarov thing? Mistam, it's time for Meryl to get a nicer apartment, nicer house. So Sanzarov said, yeah, Mistam, it's a nice thing. But then as the Sanzarov said that, he chapped what Rameir Primishlaner was trying to was seeing, like a new place means like the next world, and he's done over here. So Sanzarov said, "But I mean an olam haza." So Rameir said, "It's already kapaskin. It's already kapaskin. That was already." So that happened Thursday in Primishlan. The Kamarna, when that happened with his Ruach HaKodesh, understood what just happened, and the Kamarna went on that evening. Till Shabbos, it was a Pel de Gazach. The Kamarna kept on saying, yeah, there's this Yid, Meir Primishlan, everyone says he's a tzaddik, he's not such a tzaddik, well, he's such a Rebbe, he's not such a Rebbe. And it like, things like that. And Ar Kidei Kach, the people, the Chassidim by the Kamarna were used to strange things like this, but that, it was a little bit like he really was going stark like that. Until finally, it was Friday afternoon, I think it was. It might have been, I'm not sure the details. It could be that the Kamarna was not in Kamarna, maybe he was somewhere else for Shabbos, and he was saying this to like people that didn't know him, so it was even more like strange. Until something, I think it was talking, maybe he was in a different place. And the Maisa goes, that there was one chassid there, or that knew Rameh Primishlan, or that was connected, that was very like offended by the way the Kamarna was talking. Akadei Kach, that he took a stick, and he chased the Kamarna out of the house, wherever it is, into, and the Kamarna like jumped into the wagon. And he said, "Like go," and while he was running away from this guy chasing him, like, and the guy's like, "How can you say that about the rabbi? Like he's such a tzaddik." So this was like Friday afternoon. So the Kamarna said, "I tried. It's not. I can't. It's already the gzeir is already said." And Ad Kedei Kach, that later that day when he got home, he went to his Gemara, and he wrote in his Gemara on that whatever. He had whatever the Seder of his learning was, that blot that he was going to learn on Shabbos, he wrote on that blot for the coming Shabbos. Today it's Tzadik was Niftar. Now this is, meanwhile, that Shabbos in Primishlan, the mayor was Niftar, Rameir Primishlan was Niftar on Shabbos. So Matzah Shabbos, when the word spread that Rameir was Niftar, so all the Chassidim were like, you know, the news, you know, how they're going to break it to the Rebbe. So then the Kamarna walks in, he sees that everyone's like tumulting, the Kamarna says something like, what's the big chiddush? Let me show you the Gemara. Like, of course, Rameir was nifter. But there's a crazy mice like that. But the point is that, again, that's the Kamarna. Oh, by the way, and that was the thing. Once the Kamarna realized from that episode of this guy chasing him that he can't, you know, that he wasn't able to move out to the Gezer, Rameir is going to be nifter. So the whole Shabbos, he was mamish ois mensch over the fact that he had to say those words, negative things about the guy, and he wasn't poil anything. What? In futility, so to say, right. So the whole time he kept on like, and he went to like, he got a million of people to ask, like, he was a big avoid. He said, I had no choice, I was trying, but like, you know, it ended up being, it was, you know.
How would that avoid
Xero? Huh? So it's, there's different ways. I mean, first of all, just you know, sometimes you give a little bit of a bone to the, you know, Sar Lazelzel type of thing. So you give, something to the klipas, you know, to allow the dina to go. Also, you're also evoking from Shemayim, you're reminding the Rabbanu Shalom Kiviyachol and the Vezin Shemayla that there's more for him to do. He's not finished. There's a mice like that from the Kotzker. A similar story, that the Avnei Nezer was sick. And he was young, but he was sick. And the Avnei Nezer's mother, I think it was, came to the Kotzker and said, the Rebbe should daven for the Avnei Nezer. He's such a Talmid Chacham. He's a Goyin Otzam. He's a tzaddik. And the Kotzker said, he's such a Talmid Chacham. Okay, he learns a little bit. He's such a tzaddik. He's not such a tzaddik. So it was like, the Kotzker saying such a thing. But then the Avnei Nezer got better. And so the Kotzker says, because yeah, you know, you say that he's a tzaddik, yisod olam, he's such a huge thing, he knows everything, so he's done. So what's there left to do? So I have to remind the Rebbe Shalom, he's not done. There's a lot more madrigas that he can reach. So, you know, then he was able to. Huh? Yes, I'm saying that's what the Kotzker was doing, exactly. Anyway, so that's Rechav Yital when he's saying these harsh words against people that are doing Shalai Lishma. He's also should be Mamtik Dina from that. That's all it is. That's all it is. Okay, Bezer Shem, I guess we'll stop here and then so we'll continue tomorrow. All right.